Welcome, everybody, to another wonderful episode of the Monochrome Podcast. We are so glad that you are here. This podcast is for those who make Sunday happen. If you haven't listened to our teaser and you're just diving in, kudos. That's very brave of you. But we are here for the people who wear black, the people who serve behind the scenes, behind the curtain, the ones, the ones running the mic out, you know, when the batteries die in the worship leader's microphone. The people re-exporting that one file real quick because the pastor changed his mind. We're here for you. We're here. And I am Caitlin Johnson. Just want to give you a shout out. Hi there, Salt Director. We got JT and Keith on this episode with us today. How you guys doing?
It's good. I just like to say that I'm here for you too.
Oh, thank you.
For the audience.
On behalf of them. On behalf of them. Thank you.
For the audience.
We are not here for you, Caitlin, just to be clear. We're only here for listeners.
I get it. I made the Mountaineering staff meeting today. That must be it. Yeah. They're not here to support
me anymore. That staff meeting went too long, so.
Well, we're glad you're joining us today. I promise we won't go too long or make you sit through our staff meetings. Just a staff meeting moment. We do have one of those on the books for today, but we got some news to talk about. I'm going to give you a little tip and trick that we learned in staff meeting, not today, a few weeks ago. That might be helpful for your team. We've got an awesome interview with worship probs and of course, an amazing hashtag salt creative challenge to put forward to you today. So let's dive in. Keith, tell us the news. What's going on?
Well, I have got a very interesting story here. Maybe if you're a production leader in your church, media coordinator, whatever it might be, you probably have heard about this if your feelers are out there, but there is a pro presenter challenger that has arrived on the scene, and it is called Free Show.
Ooh.
So it is just as it says in the name, it is free.
And the controversy you have just opened.
I know, for real. I know that, you know, if you're kind of a mid-size or smaller church, you may be using ProPresenter, but you also may be thinking it'd be nice to save those production dollars for something else, anything else. And this might honestly be an option for you, because from what I can tell, looking at its tutorials and reading up on all of its stats, it does just about everything that ProPresenter does. Because one of the things that's so nice about ProPresenter is you can quickly edit slides while a presentation is still rolling. Mm-hmm. And you can have multiple outputs, one going for your online audience, one for the audience that's live right there. Plus, you can have yourself a stage screen for the people that are on stage looking. And Free Show does all of those same things. So that to me is a big deal. I know how, as a former youth pastor, I was really into countdowns. Okay, I was kind of coming up in the years where like having the cool, trendy countdown was awesome. I probably skirted some copyright issues at some times.
Did you use YouTube videos for your countdowns?
Sometimes, but I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent, but one time I mixed SpongeBob and Doctor Strange into an epic countdown that the youth were crazy about. But here's the thing is those can tend to be a bit of a trendy thing just because it's an easy way to communicate to the entire room. Hey, we're about to start. So you might want to find your seat. So the thing is, you can easily set and create countdowns in this program. For me, it just kind of stood out. You have great NDI support. You have great remote control access. So the pastor can control the slides from up on the pulpit.
For those churches you are wearing a lot of hats, for sure.
Exactly. For those pastors that maybe don't have the most faith in their production manager or their slide operator. I would have faith in you, but I'm not your pastor.
That's right.
But that said, it's great for scripture and lyric integration. And then just like importing presentations for PowerPoint, from any other kind of platform is very simple. And so at the end of the day, when you're looking at kind of the things that this software does, that is Free Show, versus the behemoth sometimes that you might have of a ProPresenter subscription fee, which can get costly if you've got multiple accounts on that. I just kind of have this one question after all this news, which is, could this potentially be a ProPresenter killer?
Well, let me dive right in and say, I think there's going to be people who doubt it because it's free. Like, it can't be that good if it's free.
Me too.
You know, that's, I think the mindset we all have. Yep.
So I looked it up on Captera, which is kind of like a free like review platform for this kind of stuff. And it's saying all the things you say, Keith, but it is saying it doesn't have, it lags a little bit. So it's a little slower. Mm. So probably the performance is not as high as other programs, and it has text editing issues. Sometimes the output doesn't sync to the screen.
Ouch.
So yeah, a lot of it is just saying like lag in text editing. Where I can see this being super helpful is maybe you don't want to buy as many licenses for whatever software you're using. And you have a room that you're like, oh, we don't really use ProPresenter in here a ton, but for that one time a year or that one event every once in a while where we need to put some stuff up on the screen, you know, maybe this is a great alternative to have where it's free. So you're not, it's not like a big deal for you to have an extra license on a computer and you don't have to, you know, be switching licenses or whatever, or, you know, or if you're a smaller ministry, that's like, we'd rather put the dollars towards something else. And this, you know, this could be a great alternative for you.
I like that. One of the things that I would advise is because it's free, there's no risk or no harm in at least downloading
it, give
playing
it a shot.
Around with it, toy with it. Maybe, you know, download it on the computer that you use in the youth room or the children's room. Those are non-tithing members that you can mess up with, right? So
the guinea pigs, yes.
In my opinion, you know, it's a safe place where the production doesn't have to be just spot on all the time. So if there is a lag or if a screen doesn't quite get the signal or whatever, it's a good place to go, okay, well, I definitely will not be entertaining the thought of using this in the main room. But there are kind of those opportunities just to play around with it and just see, you know, and maybe even having it and just waiting for potential upgrades to happen in future years, where maybe some they get a lot of this feedback once it's out there and so many people are using it, they start to realize, okay, we need some bug fixes here, and they kind of dial in their tech. So maybe worth giving it a shot for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say. We know ProPresenter is what a ton of people use, but it's not the only one out there. Like, there are a lot of other programs, software that's available that do this. A lot of people use these other ones. But every time someone enters this field, anytime someone brings up a new product, I think everyone wonders, how will this compare? And I love seeing, like JT said, of, you know, the debates and the people who have tried it saying, okay, here's how it does compare, the pros, here are the cons. But I don't think it's easy to see those without doing it yourself, because every church is so different. For one church, it might be the solution they've been looking for. Another church will be like, heck no, tech no. Number one, we don't even have time to try a new software. Like, we can't teach our volunteers something new. You know, we don't have the time to make the adjustment just because that is such an investment of resources. But other churches, yeah, it might be exactly what they needed all along.
Yeah, that's great.
All right.
So I guess we can say that it's not necessarily the ProPresenter killer yet. But maybe a strong foundation to build upon to maybe in the future they can they can possibly get there.
But they will never be able to charge for their product. Never.
Exactly. As long as it's free.
It's in the name. They will never be able to.
I wonder if when it's running, it has like ads in it.
No, no.
That'd be terrible.
You know it. And then you've got to pay a subscription or like some kind of payment in order to get the ads to go away.
We're actually talking about this because Salt is running an ad on it. So every church is going to have a Salt ad.
Yes, please.
We are not. All right. Well, let's dive into a staff meeting moment. For those of you who listen to this podcast, who are maybe more on the leadership side of things, or, you know, they've got a team of volunteers or a team on staff that they lead, let me encourage you with a little tip and trick that you can share. I know the SALT team was such a blessing. Earlier, one of our early episodes, I said, you know, are these little exercises helpful to you guys that I was presenting? And they reaffirmed me and said, yes, these have been great. So I'm bringing you another one, guys. And this one, I have actually been practicing a lot. I know we talked about time blocking in the past, and Keith latched onto that one. But this one is one that I have latched onto and practiced almost daily since we did it in staff meeting. And it is called the Ivy Lee Method for Peak Productivity. Some of you might hear that and be like, I know exactly what she's about to say. And if so, kudos to you. You are a productive worker. But it's pretty simple. This Ivy Lee Method for Productivity is that at the end of the day, write down six things, top six things that were most important that maybe you didn't get done. And then prioritize those six things. Starting tomorrow, what is the most important thing that has to get done tomorrow? And make that list, prioritize that list. And then when you start your workday tomorrow, start with that number one priority thing. And then work your way to number two. And once that's finished, work your way to number three. And so on. And then at the end of the day tomorrow, look at your list. Is it complete? If it is, great. Check it all off. Make a new list of six things for the next day. If it's not, whatever is left on that list, let's say maybe it's, you know, number five and six didn't get done. You're starting your day tomorrow as those being number one and two, and then make a list of six, you know, then fill out the rest of those six. And that is your to-do list. Those are the things that absolutely have to get done. For me, I have latched onto this method. It's helped me so much. Sometimes I have less than six, just depending on the day. Sometimes I cheat and I do one or two more, but I found this so productive. Did you guys end up using this after we talked about it in staff meeting?
Yeah, there's days I do. When a lot of times when the tasks are smaller, that's something that I would utilize. So for instance, I've got so many contracts to send out to speakers and so many things to upload onto our site, saltuniversity.com. And in doing so, it's really easy when those things are kind of important, but they're also kind of smaller, to kind of have those things and make sure that they're prioritized, because otherwise I'm going to give myself to bigger projects and be kind of dwelling on those. And those things can sometimes really easily slide under my radar.
And when they're small tasks too, they're easy to put on the calendar. I know we shared on our social media a workshop from Daryl Girardier and on our blog talking about this, but take it from a to-do list to a calendar meeting or a calendar event makes it get done. So if you only have six things, like whether you're putting it on the calendar for you to just work on your own, or whether it's a meeting that you're trying to like knock something out. Yeah. When there's small tasks like that, Keith, you're absolutely right. They're easier to kind of check off.
I think it's a good practice to start thinking about the next day too. It's so easy just to work right up till the clock strikes 5 o'clock or whenever you stop working, 4:30. For me, it's usually around 1 a.m. I think is usually when I end up,
boundaries, JT.
We don't pay you enough.
but it's a good practice to be like, okay, what can I already kind of have ready to go for me to start working on tomorrow? And that way you're not spending your first, you know, 2 hours of the workday just trying to figure out what's going on. That just sets yourself up for success, I feel like. I'm really bad at that. I work until it's time to stop working. And then the next day I just try to figure out where I was kind of and pick back up. I should probably start implementing this so I can be a little more productive each day.
Well, and disclaimer, in case someone's the opposite of JT, once these six things are done, that doesn't mean you have to clock out. It's not like, all right, my day's over, completed my six things. It's you just got done the six most important things. Now it's time to, you know, work ahead on something else. I think some leaders things. Just got real nervous. Like, oh no, you only do six things.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well, we know JT doesn't have that problem because he works nonstop, and we're working on that with him. We're working on that.
I'll send Slack messages and reels, you know, little ideas and stuff all the time.
Yep. All right. Well, that is our staff meeting moment. I hope you're able to take that little tidbit, maybe explain it to your team, try it out for a couple days, see if it helps productivity, see if it helps prioritizing. I know it's definitely helped me in my workday.
L Acoustics, a leader in audio technology, offers cutting-edge sound solutions for houses of worship. Their LISA immersive hyperreal sound transports congregations beyond the ordinary, with an immersive soundscape putting everyone inside the message. From cozy to grand-scale sanctuaries, L Acoustics tailors sound designs to meet your specific congregation or worship space, ensuring quality meets affordability. With L Acoustics, you'll never have to sacrifice sound quality. Learn more about L Acoustics by clicking the link in the show notes.
All right, well, we had a chance to pull aside the Worship Probs team, Brian Tabor and Jen Smalley, as they went a little bit further in depth on what they taught about last year in a workshop, which was how to build a bridge between the production team and those leading worship on the stage. Give it a listen.
Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thrilled. Thrilled to be here.
I'm honored, not just as a, you know, SALT employee, but also as a longtime fan of Worship Probs, as I've told you before. So
very kind.
If you guys don't know, this is Brian and Jen from Worship Probs. They are some of the best people out there in the worship world. And I know they would both say they're not gurus, but clearly they've struck a chord. And so I think that makes you experts in
I would say I'm not a guru. She would say she is.
Okay. No, for gurus, if anything, it's humor. I think the chord that we struck was laughing at, laughing at ourselves.
I know. Exactly. I love it. Exactly. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, I just want to say thank you for being here. And I kind of want to ask you, you guys have done a lot of conferences. You travel all the time. You do the podcasts. SALT is really focused on the production side of things. And so you've been worship leaders, you've been in that world. What do you think about the importance of the relationship between the worship teams and the production teams?
Man, I would say my approach is always we're one team. You know, approaching it from a place of unity and collaboration, like like we're one team. And like for stage people, I always tell them, you have to remember when you drove in, the cars in the lot were your production team. And most of the time when you drive out, the cars that are still in the lot are the cars of the production team. So we always tried to structure it so we were one team working with one goal. We might come at that goal from some different ways, but man, gosh, what good. We have the greatest message in the world. And what if nobody can hear it? What if nobody can see it? You know, the things that the production team does to help that message get out there makes all the difference in the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we need each other with that same goal. Because if you don't have anybody on the platform, what's the production team have to, you know, to light and to sound? But also, if there's nobody in the booth, you know, the worship team can't do what they need to do. So we really do need each other. And yeah, being one team is so important, unified in vision and in heart and in that goal. Like that's, it's just important. If we don't get that down, then we're going to probably end up with like toxic culture and, and all kinds of tension. It just, it really can snowball from there. So I echo what Brian says, one team.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So you guys, like I said, have struck a chord with people. You're great at laughing, great at making fun of people. I know you've got your three E's of Worship Probs. And I love that you guys couple laughter with like education and that sort of thing. You actually talked a workshop on this today, right?
We did.
Yes.
Yeah. Our workshop was a building a bridge between the stage and the booth. You know, often that can be a adversarial relationship. And we talked about some kind of practical ways to help that culturally and mutual respect. Coming at it from a place of mutual respect.
Right, because it really comes down to culture. And, you know, I'm like, culture isn't taught as much as it's caught. And it starts with the leaders. And so we have to be intentional about shaping our culture. What do we want our team to look like? Modeling it. And then everything will trickle down from there.
That's great. I love it. Okay, so we're a conference of creatives. Obviously, you guys are worship people, but you're actually creatives. I'm claiming it. I'm naming it.
We love titles.
I'm seeing it.
You are creative. You guys put out tons of content. You do podcasts. You do carpool karaoke. You do, I don't even know what else is going on, but I know you have a lot going on. So how do you guys, as a Worship Probs team, kind of keep the train moving, keep coming with new, fresh ideas, and kind of not get burnt out and keep your pulse, too, on what's connecting with people?
You know, I think for us, it all comes back to, you mentioned the three E's, that those are kind of our measuring stick, like our values for what everything we do. We want it to entertain, encourage, and equip. And entertain is, we jokingly call it like the gateway drug. Like we can make you laugh. Hopefully that reminds us, we're all in this together. You know, when I first started out, people would DM and say, how do you know that's what we're dealing with? We're dealing with that exact same thing in our church. And I'm like, because I'm dealing with it too, man. I'm one of you. And so, you know, if we can make you laugh, it can hopefully put you at ease. I don't know anybody who would say, you know what, I laugh too much. I have too much joy in my life. And so that's what we want to do. And if in the entertaining, we can open up to some deeper conversations about encouragement and helping to equip people to not just survive ministry, but to flourish and thrive in ministry. And, you know, like I said, we got the greatest message in the world that we get to tell.
So. Yeah. And it helps that we have a team. Like there's a whole team, you know, Brian started it alone. Just him in his basement making memes anonymously, you know, but it's grown to where there's like a team of people who help like run the account and help. And they're people who are in ministry. So, you know, people will send us DMs with prayer requests. We have actual people pray over those prayer requests. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to like staying creatively inspired, you know, there are times where it's like, man, I got nothing, you know, but it's nice when you have teams. Cause it's like, Brian, do you have anything? Cause I got nothing. And then he'll shoot a bunch of memes my way. And then it's like, oh, there we go. Okay, I'm going to run with something too. You know, so it's partnership. It just, it really, really helps.
Yeah, I love
it.
Absolutely. And prayer requests, not to be confused with
prayer concerns. Yeah. Yeah. Very different things.
You know, but that was, when we started the podcast, I'd never really listened to a podcast before. And I'm like, man, this can't just be me talking for 30 minutes. I wouldn't even listen to that.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, let's come up with some segment ideas. And the prayer concerns thing, we thought that'll get us through maybe 4 or 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to come up with something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, 257 episodes in.
Wow.
People are still sending in. And, still, you know, in our context, the prayer concern is, you know, when you kind of get roasted by your congregation for something you did or you didn't do or something you didn't do the way they wanted you to do it, or it was too loud when you did it, or how you lit it, or whatever.
And they'll like write it on the prayer card.
Yeah,
they submitted it. How can we pray for you?
Yeah.
The music was too loud.
Yeah, exactly.
We know all about those.
I'm sure.
Sound people.
It's like, I'm sure you guys know.
Oh my gosh.
There's always one. We got the fake slider that's got nothing on it.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
You
just let me take that down.
Let me turn it down for you.
Exactly.
Love it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. Okay, so as people that have your pulse, kind of nose to the ground and what's going on out there in the worship community, production community, which you actually guys, you started a production meme account, correct?
Yeah. Church Production Props.
Yes. Absolutely. So you should definitely go follow that because it's hilarious.
Oh man.
But what is some things kind of as you look forward in that world that you're either excited about or maybe raise some yellow flags about, or maybe something that you're like prescribing for the church, like, hey, we need to see this. This is what needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, I'm a deep dive spiritual.
Do it.
Something that is exciting is I do think that the church is able to create on a level that's a little bit higher in value. Mm-hmm. You know, Christian entertainment gets a bad rep.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, sometimes it's really deserved. Like, it's like, are we really reflecting our creative God by putting out this subpar stuff and using spiritual terms or whatever as a reason to like not be excellent? So there is that part that I'm like, I do get excited at some of the creativity that's really being explored in the church. Now, the other side of it is with that some of that creativity and some of the tools that we have, I get concerned that our technology is going to outpace our spiritual walks. And we can start to look at what is meant to be a tool to help support the message of the gospel, to help support, you know, worshiping the Lord and that sort of thing. We can then become dependent on those tools, or even those tools can become what is more of our focus, you know, like, look at we slayed this. This is so cool. This, you see the graphics, they're killer. And we start to, our focus can get really off onto like, this is not what it's supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. So while I'm excited about, you know, technology and what we can do in the future, I would say my yellow flag word of caution would be, don't let that outpace our dedication to our walk with the Lord, to growing spiritually, to knowing the word of God, to remember the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission wasn't go into all the world and put on great production. It's going to all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. You know, so we need to be making disciples on our teams and in our churches and, you know, remembering always having God's kingdom come, God's will be done here on earth. That has to be at the forefront.
I love that.
Man. Amen. We could
pray the benediction and go home. We're done.
You know, I think kind of piggybacking on what Jen said, which was so well said, you know, everything we do has to be an overflow of our relationship with the Lord. Like my ministry philosophy was always know the way so you can lead the way and then get out of the way. and let God do what only God can do, you know? And so those are, that's the thing I say mostly, most of all to people who ask me, you know, ministry philosophy, what's it take to stay in the game, longevity or whatever. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it can so easily get out of balance. We can so easily get distracted. And look, man, I served, my last church was high production, man. Luke would come and serve with us at Christmas every year. And I got that. And it was so easy to let all the bells and whistles, you know, the icing, you know, take away from the cake. And so, man, I would just say always nurturing that relationship with the Lord first. It keeps your heart tender. It keeps your mind focused in the right space, and just let that govern everything you do.
I love that. And that really is, not to the shameless plug here, but it really is the message of salt. Like that's what Luke's heart is like. What I love when I first started working here was, you know, we can produce all day long if we want at the highest level with the most production, but if there's not that gospel, that, you know, that meat of the gospel, your pinch of salt is not going to do anything. You just have a plate of salt, you know, or you just have a cake with no icing. Or I'm sorry, icing with no cake. Which I don't know, some people may like.
Either way, you know, it's a bad deal.
Yeah. So I love that.
Well, and we love salt. We love the heart behind it. It's an honor to be here.
Thanks.
So thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. If people want to connect with you and they somehow haven't heard about you, what is the best way for them to get connected with Worship Props?
So our Instagram is kind of the hub that that spins all the wheels. And so it's just at Worship Props on Instagram, the Worship Props podcast. But if you go to Instagram, click the follow button, everything kind of flies out from there.
That's so awesome. And I will just say, it's not a sin to not follow them, but it's almost a sin not to follow them.
Almost.
Agree.
Yeah. We're almost there. Right? So you're on that line.
We're almost there.
What a great conversation with Brian and Jen. I absolutely love those people. I think they are just really high quality, high caliber people. They're great at what they do, and they're just really good at connecting with the people in the trenches and those of us who serve week in and week out. And so you should definitely go check out their page, go check out their website. They have a podcast. Go give it a listen, and make sure to submit your prayer requests as well, which is a great segment that we talked about. So, all right, this week's creative challenge may stretch you a little bit. It requires some humility. It requires some self-reflection, but it's going to build some camaraderie in your team. So here's the challenge. Think of some of your traits, you know, not being in the best mood at 5 a.m., being particular about how cables are wrapped. Perhaps you start every staff meeting with the same phrase, something of that nature. Maybe there's just one book or one preacher or one technology you just can't stop talking about. And make a meme of yourself about it. Make some light of it. Make some fun of it, you know. Don't be too self-deprecating, but, you know, be reflective and share it with your team. And then they will get to see that you're, you know that you can be a little, you know, something, something sometimes. And it can build some camaraderie, some fun and laughter with the team, and make some inside jokes. So make your meme set, 5 memes minimum, share it. Hashtag Salt Creative Challenge. We're going to share ours. We can't wait to laugh with you, not at you. We'll be laughing with you as we go through these memes.
Man, this is going to be such a fun creative challenge to see on socials after this episode airs. I can't wait to have a good laugh with y'all. And please come laugh at our team. As JT said, they're going to be posted as well. But thank y'all so much for joining us for episode 8 on the Monochrome Podcast. We hope that you have a fantastic Sunday coming up, and we are here. We will be here again come next Tuesday when the next episode releases. Join us then.